5 to go. Lewis has been awesome. Let's it go.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner across the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it
just inside of half court.
Lane's on the other wing.
Sent it in, Jerome!
College basketball! This is March Madness!
Here we go. Another edition, another week of college basketball goodness. I'm Timmy Hall. No evil bald Colin this week because he is just gallivanting around Nollins. He's there for Radio Row with our guys, Rothman and Ice, his main gig. So we hope he's having a good time. He did get to talk to golf hottie Paige Spiranak.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if he talked to her. He probably Would you please do the interview with us, ma'am? Very respectful.
Yeah. That's incredible.
She was on Rothman and Ice. And it was, I saw their YouTube chat was just getting killed because they had to pre-tape. So there was no video.
Yeah.
They're there. They aired it on their Thursday show. And there was no video. Like, there's just a couple photos that Colin sent me of Paige sitting there with the headset on when they pre-taped yesterday.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that. I know I won't be able to see it, but it'd be a nice listen to.
So we got Rhyme Time. Our man, Jacob Reimer, is here. Sir. It's good to see you. I love the hoodie. We don't have cameras rolling in here for the pod, but you got that classic champion crew neck that just says, make your free throws.
Yeah, because they're free. And, I mean, they're... You see it a lot in college basketball down the stretch of games, missing timely free throws.
It's really no excuse to be worse than a 70% free throw shooter.
Someone said to me, it's a comparison as like a 3-foot putt.
Because, that I don't know if I can agree
you
with.
Should be able to,
how about a 4-footer?
Yeah, you should be able to make
let's
it,
increase
though.
That. It's funny you bring up
for
golf.
How much practice and you rep at it, you should be able to make them.
And there's no defense, right?
Yes.
There's no defense. It's the only play in basketball that you get to take a deep breath, collect yourself, put your eyes at the front of the rim, and know that nobody's going to come and affect your shot.
Exactly.
Except for the outside sources of people yelling and screaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hey, speaking of that, this is the week where everybody does that to the golfers.
Yes.
Let's make a little bit of noise here. Yeah.
The waste management. Oh, yeah.
I saw two big, fat, naked biker people in the woods having sex. How am I supposed to chip with that going on? Do you want to go to that with the waste management? Do you want to see that 16th hole? I don't know. I think it's passed me by. I like watching it. Yeah. I don't know if I could be one of those bros anymore and do that.
I think I don't know if I could because I'm not one to just sit on a hole and just watch. I want to bounce around.
Not sitting on a hole, huh?
Yeah.
You see all the holes.
Yes, I want to see all the golf holes and walk around the course, get my steps in. But, I mean, it would be cool to experience at least one time. And, like, I know I wouldn't be able – like, I'd have to get there way early to get a good spot
for – I know,
for,
but you see how when they open the gates, it's just it's like the Bulls on parade, right?
Yes.
Running of the Bulls. Also a Rage Against the Machine song. But they just head right for that – for the 16th. It's basically a baseball stadium that they built around it. It is so unique and really different. It's almost gotten too Happy Gilmore and too out of control.
And if you hit a bad shot, they'll definitely let you know about it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. I enjoy how it's just loud the whole entire time, so you can just sort of set your mind to it when you're in your routine. And you know what? They still do just fine.
Yeah.
I think they hit the shots that they were going to hit anyway.
I think.
Because you adjust.
If it were me, everybody would have to be on the lookout because I would probably be shanking it into the stands.
Heads up, everybody. Yeah. It's just a wedge. It's just a short par three. Yeah. You should be fine. So, that is this week. It always kind of blends into what is a big time in college basketball as we head into February here. We're getting closer and closer. Boy, I feel like so much happens every single week. I know Kansas got a big rebound victory beating Iowa State. That was huge for them. A little later on in the podcast, I actually got some stuff for you Cincinnati Bearcat fans. So I wanted to take a look into their team because we haven't really talked about them a lot. Sorry to say about your Tar Heels. I checked into that game. It was 40-15. Yeah. I just nodded. I didn't really do much to you on that.
Yeah.
I
left you alone because before that was Kansas and Baylor. And Baylor had another debacle from the Jayhawks. But I was like, I can't do it yet before this game, even though I know what's going to happen probably. I had to wait. But
hey, speaking of arenas, though, in that Baylor game,
yeah,
I talked to our gal, Nicole Sheeran, at 10TV Sports Reporter. She came from that market. She was in Waco. She actually got to see games at Baylor's old gym and then the new one right when it opened. So she's seen Baylor KU games at both spots. And they did it right. I think it seats just under 10,000.
Yeah.
But it is a great gym, and you can hear that crowd getting behind them in that comeback.
Like right on top of them too. Like they're
Well, that's what you get with basketball only venues.
Exactly,
is they're right on top of you.
Well, they had the camera angle last year that a lot of people were complaining about, and they got it switched this year. It looks much better,
much better,
because you can actually see the fans and everything going crazy, like on the run that they had on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And it's never looked odd at Duke, you know, the camera angle, and Duke is so wild because. Name me another gym in college basketball where the hoops are actually suspended from above. Straight up high school gymnasium
style. That's one thing that I really like about Cameron Indoor.
But it seats over 8,000. I mean, there's not really many high school gyms outside of the big boy ones in Indiana that seat over 8,000.
Yeah.
And for those to be from the rafters, it's kind of crazy. But then you can go flying under the basket, not running into a stanchion or anything.
You just got all the media people down
just
there.
Just running into people.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sitting here trying to think of, I can't think of any arena, like at least a
not gonna
big
find
time
them.
Arena like that has the baskets like that.
You might be able to go to like the SoCon, like the Southern Conference.
Yeah,
or
but like
big
not
South,
like
something
big,
like that.
Big time.
Yeah.
Like
not
Power
really even
five.
Any MAC schools I couldn't think of.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I haven't seen many other outside the convo.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I need to dive into that. But to the game, Carolina Duke. I'm actually glad that Carolina basically had a week off because it's been the least stressful week I've had because every game is just all right. What's going to happen down here with the last 5 minutes? But didn't have to really worry about that when they were almost down or they were down 30 in the first half essentially. Cooper Flagg's ridiculous.
He's so good, right?
Yeah.
I heard one of our shows talking about it this week about is he the best true freshman you've seen in college basketball? And boy, oh boy, he's not better than Kevin Durant for me.
Okay.
But if you have any off the top of your head, I know we didn't say we were going into this. That just was a spur of the moment type of thing.
Yeah.
But if you can think of any, because I mean, Zion was there at Duke too. Jahlil Okafor was really good. I feel like he gets lost in the shuffle, and they won a natty with him.
Yeah.
AD, of course.
Anthony Davis, he was defensive player. Did he win both? Defensive player of the year and overall player of the year?
They won the most important thing, which was a natty.
Yeah, they won the natty.
That was Coach Cal's national championship. He might have, now that you say that.
I think he won defensive, but I feel like he also being the best player on the best team.
Shoot, Sully. Jared Sullinger right here. He's not Cooper Flagg, but he was real deal. My goodness.
Durant was an elite scorer, so was Zion, and Zion could rebound. He had some nice passes and everything, but Cooper Flagg is doing everything. I think in the month of January alone, he was averaging north of 25 a game, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. I just feel like as a freshman, he was 17 in December. He came into this thing as a 17-year-old. And now he's just doing all this kind of stuff.
Kevin Durant was a 26-11 guy.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. He could get boards.
He was 26. Not just scoring. He was 26-11 and an assist and a half, 2 steals and 2 blocks per game. So he was a defender, a rebounder, a scorer, all three levels, right?
Yeah.
All three levels, throwing down dunks. You want to know something? The last KU game I saw at the Fieldhouse was the Kevin Durant game.
Really?
Can you believe that? It was only a couple years after I graduated, so that was one year after. That would have been like February-ish of 07.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have not been back to my alma mater.
That is crazy.
That was the best of everything because he went nuts. Mm-hmm. I want to say he had close to 30 in the first half. And they were up 15 or 17, blowing us out of our own gym. And then KU stormed back in the second half. And I think they even got a rock chalk chant. in that game.
That's electric.
Yeah,
but typical,
it was unbelievable.
Typical Allen Fieldhouse crowd. If they get down early, they're going to get their team back into it.
Crowd helps you get back in, but
yeah.
No, that Cooper Flagg is in the conversation.
Yeah.
In the conversation of best true freshman you're going to see in this game.
He scored or assisted on the first 18 points of the game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And it honestly, like, just the athleticism, the shot making, rebounding, passing, everything.
It was kind of like a Jeremiah Smith when he dropped his first pass. In this, I know Cooper Flagg's had other moments and everything, but just being the center of attention, Carolina.
He had
Duke,
a couple of those games where he turned the ball over. Is that what you're talking about? Right?
He missed two free throws to start the game to get him going. And
I thought you're talking about. I know earlier in the season like with Jeremiah,
just like an individual
one thing
game
he dropped
thing.
All year, right? But
but like the individual game, Jeremiah drops that first.
Yeah, it would have been a 50-yard touchdown or whatever.
And then in this game in general, Cooper Flagg misses two free throws and then kind of gets settled in from there.
Yeah.
You kind of think when he does that, oh, okay, maybe the nerves are settling in for Carolina Duke. But
first time.
First time, and now he's settling in, scores or assists on 18 of the first points there. That's ridiculous.
I just, on the day that we're recording this, it's a basketball day, and I still get so excited for it.
Yeah,
I do. Like, I love that. Like, my first ever full-time job in this business was, you know, working in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I also got to cover college basketball. And that was like a pinch me type of thing. Like, to go to Duke, and back when your guys used to be good, back when North Carolina basketball used to mean something.
They were a one seed last year.
I know. Why is this guy not let it go? But it was just getting to go and feel the vibes in an arena. And, and look, like, I know, like, we're striving to do better. We're striving to make that environment a little bit better. And I'm curious to see what it's going to be like. And, you know, at the end of this episode, we'll actually have some recap, because the Ohio State-Maryland game is going to be a very, very big basketball game, and much more needed by Ohio State than for the Terps. So hopefully the boys got the result
if they got it done on Sunday against Illinois, you might not be pressuring as much in this one.
No, now you need it.
Now you need
it. Yeah, now you need it. Mm-hmm. Needed it. But anything else catch your eye? I mean, how about Auburn and Duke right now?
Yeah.
Just what those two programs are doing.
It's crazy how, like, it's those two – and then a drop off to me.
Yeah.
And I don't really think it's that close. Like, I think if those two aren't the last two standing on Monday night in April for the national championship, I might be pretty upset because I want to see a rematch of those two.
You just want to see that.
That's Auburn's only loss is at Cameron in the ACC-SEC Challenge. And it was a great game, too.
It was. I feel like we talk about this every year about how we love the parity that's in college basketball, but then typically in the Final Four, you get big dogs.
Yeah.
Like, you get teams that were pretty much pacing through the whole entire season. But now that you've said that here, don't know.
Yeah.
I just hope they put them on opposite sides of the bracket. Right?
They got
just let
to.
Let it be a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let it happen.
I actually want to come back and ask you something sort of on that subject.
Okay.
It has to do with Duke and Auburn's dominance in the sport right now. So we'll do that. You guys are locked in to Mad About Hoops.
All college basketball, all the time. You're listening to Mad About Hoops, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Couple of college basketball loving guys. We certainly hope that you love college hoops too. You better, like, some of this is forced listening because we replay this on The Fan on Saturday morning. So we say hello to you. Please check us out more if this is your thing. And those of you that have been listening on the podcast, we know that you guys love college basketball. So you're part of the family, so we appreciate that. Whether it's the Buckeyes, whether it's the Big Four in Ohio or beyond. Hey, this was actually a real thing that got said this week. We didn't hit this in the opening segment, but Rick Pitino not actually talking about Kentucky for once.
Yeah, inside, I want to kill myself.
That was a real halftime interview with the legend, the GOAT, Bill Raftery.
Yeah.
What was he talking about there, Jacob?
Their St. John's inability to make free throws in a tight game. He's wanting on the inside. He wants to kill himself.
Just like this.
Yeah, inside, I want to kill myself.
That's Pitino.
But then on the outside, he's like, okay, we're just going to make the next one.
And they wound up winning.
They did. Very good game against Marquette.
St. John's is good.
Yeah.
That's what you get with a coach like that, right? He turns them around. And for people that are of a younger variety, St. John's is a legendary basketball program that kind of just went into a dark age. And they tried to dig out. They tried bringing back legacy guys, a la Patrick Ewing being brought back to Georgetown.
Yeah.
It's really similar in that regard. Famous basketball brands. Only thing that St. John's, I don't think St. John's won an NCAA championship. But they've won NITs back when the NIT was a huge deal.
Yeah.
And made runs in the NCAA, but they tried that. You know, they went down. DePaul used to be that deal, and they went into a dark age. Chris Holtman's going to try to bring them
back to life.
It's going
to
be a process.
Yeah.
But Georgetown's suffering from it too right now. But St. John's, this is impressive what Rick's doing there.
Yeah, they play bully ball. They are so physical. Their defense is ridiculous. Like, one of the last possessions in that game, like, there was a minute and a half left. They're up 7.
Yeah, yeah.
If Marquette hits a 3, it's a 4-point game with still a minute to go. And they, like, anytime Marquette tried to drive, it was just cut off. And just rotations and everything were switching around, and it just looked so incredible. Led to a Kadari Richmond block on the to send it out of bounds and with, like, 5 seconds left on the shot clock. And I was like, that is the defense you want that late in the game when you're trying to keep the momentum on your side and not give any kind of life to the opposing team. And I just love the way they play basketball.
What do you think their defensive rank is right now? The Johnnies.
On KenPom?
Yeah, what do you think
they
are?
I'd say top 5.
Yeah, they're 4th. Yeah, for everything that you just described and how together they play. And that's what it is. Like, that was a great description. And it almost goes back to that last, I want to say it was the last really good team they had when Ron Artest was involved.
Yeah.
Until just about now. And they've had, you know, some little spikes. But that, I think, was the last time a lot of basketball fans would remember St. John's when they had Ron Artest.
Yeah. It's alive.
And was still his name. You know, it wasn't Meta World Peace yet.
It's alive and well in New York City again, and I don't think that could be any better for college basketball. And
so,
the last time they won 20 wins or like at this rate was like 2000, I want to say, and they made it to the Final Four that year.
20-3.
Yeah.
Was that not his team? That had to have been his team.
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're incredible right now, and shout out to Big East basketball because we certainly love it. And when you talk about toughness and defense and guards being the focal point, that is one of the leagues that we think of, like the Catholic Seven, like famous basketball brands, right? We think about that. And that matchup, Marquette, St. John's.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just good.
You got St. John's and UConn on tomorrow night, Friday night.
Providence even gets me up.
Yeah.
You talk about Providence basketball, you mentioned the Friar. I bought my son a quarter zip and some cool basketball shorts. Okay. He didn't even know how cool they are. He'll never wear them.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're black. That's your color. Yeah. Like, I wanted to get you a little something, get you involved.
Georgetown.
G-Town. Talk about good shorts.
Yeah.
Georgetown shorts, right?
But you got Madison Square Garden and everything for the Big East tournament. It gets me fired up. That's one tournament that I'm always, like, really locked into during conference tournament week.
So I was actually talking about this with my son, with Jack, before I came in today to record the podcast, because we're talking about, you know, Ryan Day's extension and what Ohio State football is. And we actually did get on that point of his win percentage and just how you look at it now through a different lens. When in the past we're thinking about how you've struggled in some big games, we've always acknowledged that you had a high win percentage, but now that he did win these 4 games, it almost does make us seem a little more ridiculous, right? Like when you and Urban have like 2 of the 4 highest win percentages of all time.
Which is crazy.
Ryan Day's win percentage is ahead of Urban's at this point in time. And Urban was 3rd ever behind, 2 dead Notre Dame legends, then him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, when you look at that, you're like, that's crazy. Like that kind of dominance. I do wonder about college football with the new system that they have, but college basketball, like, I don't think we are ever seeing an undefeated team.
No.
Ever again.
Mm-mm.
It's going to be fewer in football now with the extra games. I still think you're going to get it, but it might only be once every 10 years, even for dominant teams. But I guess the point of what I was trying to say is college basketball to me now, it was always different from college football, but you still have famous brands that are quote unquote blue bloods in football. Obviously, Ohio State football is that. We'd like basketball to kind of climb back up to something closer than that. And we know the names in basketball. Like Indiana's got it in hoops. They do not have it in football. Kansas has it in hoops. They do not have it in football. Kentucky, North Carolina.
Duke.
Yeah, Duke, of course. Like, we know. Football's got those too. But why is it that it seems like easier for those classic football brands to chase down like a certain level of greatness than for the college basketball counterparts? Am I making any sense with that? It's just that Duke and Auburn are studs, but we know the NCAA tournament is such a crapshoot that it's hard to go and win a championship. It just got harder in college football, but we just saw Ohio State do it.
I think you look at it like a matchup wise, like you're going to find a team that's like a three seed going to look really good, but then they struggle with rebounding. They struggle taking care of the ball. You go up against it, a 14 seed or a 6 seed in the second round that is
a mid-major team.
One of the best rebounding teams off. Or as a great defensive perimeter team that can force turnovers.
Or they're just really veteran or if they've got four guys that have played together for 4 years.
Exactly that. Yeah, I think that's where you kind of see, like, you're also not challenging yourself as much in the non-conference as college basketball is. Like you've got the Mauis where like this year you had UConn, Auburn, Iowa State, Carolina, Dayton was there, Michigan State was there. And they were all playing against each other at some point. You don't see that in college football.
If what I said sounded stupid and completely off base, I apologize. But what I'm thinking about here is take a program like North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I know you could say, well, Tim, like there's been teams in college football also that have been famous brands and have had a little slide and have struggled to get back up. I get that. But Kansas is a team right now that is still really good, but you're able to lose a lot of games.
Yeah.
Like, and they're able to have some really, really bad days too, but yet they could still rebound and get back to it and do something amazing this year. But they're blowing games to Houston. They're giving up 21-point leads to Baylor. They don't feel like vintage Kansas.
Yeah.
But yet in the end, they're probably going to be fine. North Carolina, maybe not so lucky. Like they have a little bit more problems right now that they have to try to climb back from.
Yeah, and I mean, I think both of those two, it goes to like the roster build. And I mean, Kansas has pretty complete. They've got shooters. They've got a solid big and everything. Carolina's, they didn't really do great in the offseason with the portal and missed out on a lot of bigs.
Is it harder to win a national championship in college basketball than it is in college football simply because of the postseason?
Simply because... Man, that's tough now with this argument because if you look at like an Ohio State run, you've got to beat four teams that are inside the top 10.
And let me pose this too: like if you are able to go say 16-0 in college football and pull that off and do that, to be fair, would that be equivalent to having what a 4-loss season? Or would you make that? Would you want to see that be like a 2 or a 3-loss season? Because I don't. Auburn's got, at the time we're doing this, still has one loss.
Right.
And that's incredible with the landscape of this sport. I really wanted to give Duke and Auburn this year credit because I think that this sport now is getting so much harder to even be like a 5-loss team going into conference tournament time is what I'm trying to say. It's gotten significantly harder for the blue bloods in college basketball to make it to tournament time with a low number of losses, like with 4 or 5 losses under their belt. Where in the past, I feel like we had a lot of teams that were 1, 2, 3 loss teams. We've even had some undefeated teams in recent memory make it to tournament time. Yeah. But I don't think you're seeing that anymore.
Well, and this kind of goes to a testament of how deep the SEC is. Kentucky, they are 15-7.
15-7.
And teams are looking at them as a tournament lock. Yeah. Arkansas, who just beat them, is 14-8. And they're not even considered for being in the tournament right now.
Just about the wins that they have.
Yeah.
But Arkansas's got some wins right now.
They just went into Rupp and beat them. That's a huge win. And
they should get hot.
Yeah. I think now with that win, they might be flirting with like the next 4 out line. But I mean, still, like, that's 8 losses. You would think, well, they have one less than Kentucky, but Kentucky's a lock for the tournament, and Arkansas just beat them and have one less loss. So Where's that at? I know the losses are worse for Arkansas, but, and this, like, Auburn, they've beat, like, the SEC is ridiculously good. They've beaten, they've beaten Iowa State. They played Duke. They still have to play Bama twice. They play Florida. They play Tennessee. All teams that are inside the top 10.
Yeah. I mean, they've got like 9 ranked teams in the SEC and maybe 11 or 12 tournament teams.
Yeah.
When it's done. And what they're doing is so impressive. You just are waiting for them to wear down.
Right.
You know,
that's what concerns me.
The way they play. Yeah.
That's what concerns me when they get to the tournament is, are they beating themselves up too much and going to get fatigued? While here's Duke kind of looking like a Gonzaga of the past few years, mm-hmm. where they have a beefy non-conference, and then you get into the conference play and they're playing the West Coast and they're just rolling through it. Not so much this year.
Yeah.
But then you got Duke, big names in the non-conference. You played Kentucky, Kansas, Auburn, and now they are just rolling through the ACC, beating everybody by double digits.
Yeah. Yeah. I think as we've talked here, the way this discussion has played out, I'm seeing how there's actually some similarities mm-hmm. with college football and college basketball and how a lot of these changes have affected both sports. Like adding on to the season, college basketball season always being long, and college football starting to get a taste of that yeah. a little bit, where it's okay to not be undefeated but still go on and accomplish a lot of your goals. It's just you're seeing in college hoops, it's been really the floor mm-hmm. has just been elevated. We noticed that in the Big Ten a lot because there just aren't those gimme games.
Yeah.
Like they just don't exist anymore. So
it's very impossible.
The losses are a little bit more acceptable.
Yeah. It's very tough to go on the road and win a game. And look at the Big Ten. It's like Ohio State. They were leading against Illinois, and then Illinois comes all the way back and has the crowd and energy with them. And it's very tough to win on the road.
I want to talk about the Cincinnati Bearcats mm-hmm. and their head coach, your guy, North Carolina guy,
yeah, Wes Miller,
seemingly had a come to Jesus moment. Mm-hmm. I'll play you some of the audio for what happened and then what they did to try to hopefully start to dig out of it. That's coming up. You guys are locked to Mad About Hoops.
One of these men is evil and bald. The other one is Timmy Hall, swinging his meat bat. You're listening to Mad About Hoops on The Fan.
Timmy Hall, Jacob Reimer, Rhyme Time. No evil bald Colin for this edition because he's doing Radio Row things at the Super Bowl. MBN, right? Must be nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good having stuff for him.
He should be filling up on gumbo.
Coming up in the final segment of the pod this week, we'll pin in some recap of Ohio State's big home game against the Maryland Terrapins. Man, going into that one, Maryland just red hot.
Yeah.
One of those teams no one's really talking about, but when you look at their makeup, their roster, they're good. They've got size. They've had like 2 games going into that one where they're 50%, 12 of 24 from downtown, so they can get red hot shooting. Ohio State knows they can get red hot shooting. They were beating him by 40 the first time. That's one when I think you're down by 20 and then they hit that next 3 and the crowd's going crazy. You just lose composure.
Oh, yeah.
You lose focus. Like, the Buckeyes aren't that team to be getting beat like that.
Yeah. That was a very tough watch. But you could say both teams are completely different. Well, not Maryland, as because they're
better.
Hot.
Yeah.
They're just better. Ohio State's looking a lot better since that game.
Yeah. Maryland, though, I like Derek Queen. Julian Reese mm-hmm. is a veteran.
They've got a ton Jacoby of experience,
Jacoby Gillespie.
Too.
I love to see a Belmont guy elevate and be just as good, if not better, in a better league. It's good for mid-majors.
Would have been nice if a Belmont transfer was really showing up for another school, but in a different conference.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Too bad, though.
Talking to you, Kate Tyson, who's shooting threes off the top of the backboard.
So let's go to the Cincinnati Bearcats. You probably haven't paid a lot of attention to these guys this year since they're understanding what life in the Big 12 is like. You know, it's a highly respected basketball league, and they got some good additions too. Like, you got a guy like Arizona coming into the conference. Even Cincinnati was not seen as some like chump coming into the league.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good brand name for hoops to come into the league.
Well, and we saw them at the beginning of the year against Ohio State.
Yeah, they meant business, right? Yeah. They were supposed to be this top 20 team, tournament lock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is time to move for Wes Miller, too, because year 4, didn't make it year 1. No one's expecting you to do that, turnover from Mick, but NIT, I think they hit the 20-win plateau, though, but no one down in Cincinnati is looking for NITs.
Yep.
They're looking for the NCAA. I mean, shoot, they were making the NCAA every year.
Yeah.
They wanted to
They
wanted to make some deeper runs. I think when they had that, did they have the one seed and then lost in the second round? Is that kind of what did it? They were either a one or a two seed.
I think a two maybe.
Mixed last, like, really good team.
With Jared Cumberland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I know that West Virginia, since we recorded this, got a win under their belt on the road at Central Florida.
Yep.
A Central Florida team that almost went to Allen Fieldhouse and won. So a tough game to play when you're not doing well, when you're not right.
Yeah.
Well, they had another clunker in their game against West Virginia. And afterwards, this was Wes Miller. I'm going to play one of these. And then, like, the next one I'm going to play is going to be what I said is that, like, basic come to Jesus moment. Like,
okay.
I don't know what to say to you guys. You'll hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Here was the first part. This was with Simus Lekosius sitting right next to him. So just get the context. Post-game presser.
Okay.
Wes Miller at the mic. Cincinnati stuff draped in the background. Key player who had a horrible game. Was, like, 1 for 8. Like 7 points and 2 rebounds,
yeah.
Sitting right next to him.
I'm disgusted with our play. And I don't want to take anything away from West Virginia. I thought Javon Small was a lot to handle, and he had a nice game. I thought Yesufu was a difference maker because I think he's averaging 4 or something. We certainly were concerned with him and respect him.
I love it, too. Like, we're talking about Small and Yesufu, like, God, you know, we're just talking about respect for those guys, but he's sickened. They lost that game at home 63-50. So again, like, barely hitting the half a hundred plateau offensively, which is a big issue for them, their offense.
Well, a few pods ago, we were talking about when they played Kansas.
They scored 40,
yeah,
right?
And Kansas only scored 54.
Right, you scored 40 points at home. Did they even shoot 30% in that game? I doubt it.
I do not think so.
No, it's okay. I don't want you to look.
I've already got it pulled up. 30.5%.
Yeah, barely.
They were 3 of 22 from 3.
Yeah.
And that's just at home. That is disgusting.
And then another one right there, which you can, and the losing streak at the time, it dropped them to 12-9 and 2-8 in conference, and they barely shot 31%.
Now getting Arizona at Baylor and Kansas 3 in a row.
It's tough. That's
definitely not easy.
Yeah, no,
but that's
easy.
Life in the Big 12.
It'd be one thing if they were right there. Like Ohio State had some 1-point, 2-point losses.
Yeah.
They were kicking themselves because it's like one other play, one more possession. Well, when you get blown out at home, or not at home, sorry, when they get BYU at home coming up their next time out this weekend, you lose in Provo by 30 points.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we doing?
Barely getting
closer against Utah.
Mark.
Yeah, closer against Utah, and then they got the win over Central Florida. But here was Wes Miller again after that fourth straight loss to West Virginia.
I'm the leader of our program, and it falls on me. And if I'm somebody that supports this program, I'd be frustrated. I'd be pissed at what I was watching. You should be. I am too. And I take full responsibility. It's on me. And we got a lot of basketball left. We need to figure out a way to play a style and a level of basketball that makes people proud about the way that we wear the jersey. And right now we're not doing that. And, again, that ball's on me. And there's nothing I could say that hurts more to say, but it's the truth.
I absolutely love him acknowledging that.
Same.
I really do, because that you can hear it in his voice how much this matters to him,
yeah.
How much it means. And this is a guy that is a basketball historian, and he did not just come to Cincinnati not understanding anything about some of their past players, understanding Bob Huggins in that run, and understanding everything that there was to know about the region and what Cincinnati basketball means to the alums and everybody in that town.
Yeah, it's what they have down there aside from Xavier and the Reds and the Bengals, but like it's really like their
it's
only
big deal.
It's the only basketball that they got down there along the river, unless
say
they want
to Xavier.
Go. Yeah. Yeah, and I love Xavier.
That's why the rivalry is so great.
Yes, exactly.
Two of
them. Crosstown shootout, yes.
But this is what they would fight about.
Yes, that's your two basketball right there. And so, yeah, they don't. Yeah, you want to see better production from the Bearcats, who have been historically a very solid program.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. They're one of those programs that is, they've won national championships.
Yeah.
Right? I'm trying to wrap my mind.
Oscar Robertson.
Big O. I'm trying to wrap my mind around Cincinnati and Ohio State playing for a flipping national championship. back-to-back years.
Yeah.
Like, live in a world where that happened. It's this just one.
The battle of 71 right there.
Yeah. It's this world. That actually happened before. I'm trying to, like, get that through my head. But that's what I love to hear from a coach. And they responded. They came out and they responded, and they went on the road, and they had a game that they had to win, and they won it. So, you know, they have a lot of games left. You know, they're not in. They had been teetering on a last four out, you know, next four out type of squad. So at 13-9, they got a lot of conference wins they got to catch back up with, and the right kind of conference wins. But when you're in that league, you have Iowa State on the road. You've got Houston on the road. You've got Baylor. Like, you've got some pops coming up. Let's see it. It's life in the Big 12, man. But maybe get Roy on speed dial. I'm sure he's been talking to him a lot. Wasn't he at one of the games?
Just recently went there for a game. This kind of goes back to our last discussion. This is the nice thing about college basketball is, like, you've got those bid stealers. And, yeah, Cincinnati could for sure get hot. I know it's not going to be easy in the Big 12. They could get hot, go on a run in the conference tournament, and lock in an at-large bid. I mean, NC State did it last year. So, I mean, why not?
So, did you see what I sent you about maybe what led to Cincinnati getting out of this funk a little bit?
What?
Like, this was from Dan Horde, who does the Bengals, does the Bearcats. He's a great broadcaster, right? Dude's a legend himself. To get the Bearcats to relax and have fun again, Wes Miller took them to a practice gym on Monday and played, what are the five D's of dodgeball? Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. Yes, indeed. He even put the little clip from the movie, the GIF, in his tweet. They played dodgeball, clearly had a good effect, and it worked. So good on Wes Miller for getting those guys out there to play some dodgeball.
You gotta get angry. You gotta get mean. That's the only way you can play.
Sometimes you just gotta break stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that so much. Kind of loosen everything up. Get some team chemistry right there. Getting it back. And, I mean, you went on the road, put up 93 at Central Florida. You got BYU and Utah coming up at home. You could really start rolling here.
Your coach said your coach had you guys play wiffle ball high school?
My senior year of high school, my baseball team, we played some wiffle ball in our field
Beautiful.
House before. We were kind of in a little slump here at the very end
Let's
of the season,
fun.
Right before the tournaments. And then everything just kind of loosened up. We went on a run and ended up going to the Final Four.
That's look at that.
Yeah.
Genius
we
coaching.
We were a five seed in our little district.
What a genius coach. All right, rhyme time. A big thing you're looking forward to this weekend.
A lot of big games. Florida and Auburn for sure, but I love Big East basketball. St. John's and UConn on Friday, but with this coming out on Saturday as well on the Fan, I'm going to go Florida and Auburn. Hopefully Walter Clayton Jr.'s back so that they can get both squads at full health. I think that can be a really, really fun game in the jungle.
You know, I'm looking at the Sunflower Showdown. You know, I'm looking at a little Kansas Bramlage Coliseum.
Yeah.
Going down I-70, the same road that we live off of, right? Really easy.
Yeah.
Just heading down I-70 to Kansas State, a little KUK State, and see if Michigan State continues to roll. Oregon has been taking some licks now.
Yeah.
You know, they
That's
were once highly
game.
Ranked, and now the hits have been coming for those Oregon Ducks, so we'll see how that one goes. But always appreciate it, man.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah.
We're getting closer to March.
Getting closer to March. When we come back here, some of my post-game thoughts from Ohio State and Maryland. You guys are locked to Mad About Hoops.
All the college basketball talk you can handle. You're listening to Mad About Hoops. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On the shot clock and a tie game at 70. Thornton now below center circle. 9 seconds on the shot clock. Thornton moves to the right point. Thornton dribbling right to the key. 5 on the shot clock. Thornton throws a 3 right to the key. Banks it in, Bruce Thornton. With 7.4 seconds to play. 31 for Bruce Thornton and Ohio State leading 73-70. How about that?
How about that? Mad About Hoops, Timmy Hall, we say hello to everybody listening on the Saturday morning replay on The Fan. I'm about to give you a little bit of extended coverage from the postgame show that I was on for the big victory over Maryland Thursday night at the Schottenstein Center, 73-70, with that Bruce Thornton banked in 3. Yes, what are you doing? Banking in a three. Incredible defense by Maryland. I mean, hands in Bruce's face. Like, no one's biting on his little jab. Step back three. If you're going to miss it high. Bruce was so hot in that game. He had just had an and one that was humongous the previous possession. And tie game, you're almost thinking with Maryland definitely going to get a possession of their own because they couldn't wind the whole shot clock down. Being up three would be huge because then you could go with the foul game. Jake Diebler's philosophy, right, where you foul when you're up three. They couldn't get the foul, and then Gillespie winds up getting a really good look from Maryland. Ball gets tipped away. No reason to tip the ball away when Maryland rebounds the ball and they could only have a putback for two, right? They can't win. Don't foul them. Let them run the clock out, but either way. And then they actually get another shot up with 0.7 left. That is short, and they miss it. Oh, Buckeyes survive, and they get a huge win. So I'll actually give you a little clip of the postgame press conference. Micah Parrish, the only other guy in double figures, 13 points for Ohio State, had a nice game for them and rebounded from what wasn't a very nice game against Illinois. He's talking about the urgency that this team has right now. You'll hear from Coach Jake Diebler and then some of my thoughts from the postgame show about the big victory over Maryland.
Our willingness to fight. We don't give up. The urgency we play with, how connected we are. We're catching the groove in the right moment. I think we won, five or something like that. So, like, we're refining the groove. We just keep getting better. We're learning through wins, and that's the biggest thing. Learning through wins is really big. So, I mean, we keep at this pace, man. We're going to have a good run in March into April.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have both the makings offensively and defensively of every time we step between the lines being able to win. This is what we've worked towards. It's certainly, we've dealt with a lot this year. Five one-possession games in a row, first time in my basketball life I've ever experienced that. And, you know, we've dealt with, you know, lineup issues all season, guys being out, like all that. And we are still, we've grown, we're playing well, we still have room to grow. That's what we're, like, we haven't arrived yet. This is another great step forward. But we have the makings both offensively and defensively that when we step out on the court, because of our toughness and connectedness, that there's not a team we can't compete with. So I think that's why. And we talked about it. We've worked hard since June, and we've earned the right to play meaningful games this time of year. These guys have earned it. And so it's nice to be in that spot.
Don't let Bruce sitting next to you affect your answer here. What do you get more excited for, the three or the shot clock violation defense?
Whew, man, I just get excited in general, typically. So, but I think that the defensive possessions we had down the stretch, and you know, I trust our defense to help us win games. But, you know, I also know what the work that this guy puts in every single day, and I know how much he cares about winning and how much he wants to win for Ohio State. And so when that shot went in, like, yeah, I was probably, I maybe didn't yell as loud. I was probably maybe a little prayer there at the same time. But I was just so happy for him because, like, he's earned it. You know, he's earned it.
There is head coach Jake Diebler. Love hearing the winning press conference because it's just much better to try to learn and grow after you get a tremendous victory instead of a deflating defeat. That's how narrow it is. That's how close the line is in these Big Ten basketball games. You're right there down to the wire. And really, all the game is about, because this is pretty much new college basketball. In a conference like the Big Ten, a lot of these games are going to be really close. And the name of the game is who can figure out how to be just a little bit tougher than your opponent. A lot of these teams are good. That's a really good basketball team that you just went out there and beat today. And frankly, the Buckeyes just didn't really have it. If you were in there or watched that first half, they did not have it. They lacked punch. They lacked bite. They weren't hitting anything. Maryland hit their first six shots of the game. It looked like they were just going to go nuts tonight. They were up by 17 points. And this was the team that was up, what, 50-17 on the Buckeyes in game one? Now, that should never happen. Ohio State's not that team. Things can snowball and get out of hand in a hurry, though. That's the point. And then you lose composure and you lose focus. It's incredible that they were able to do this and fight back and get that win, because to be in another one-possession game and lose it at home would have been really, really gut-wrenching. That's how narrow this is. 13-10, and then winning this game, and now you're 14-9. You lose it, you're closer to being 500 again. It's just, you're at a point in the season where all of these games are massive to what they do to your bottom line. Really, really good job by Ohio State defensively in the second half. I mean, Maryland was down almost to 41% shooting by the end of the game. They were shooting the lights out in the first half. It was incredible. Just a good job by everybody for Ohio State, mainly Bruce Thornton, to hit that shot. The bank wound up being open tonight. So there you go. And that'll do it for this edition of the podcast. I can't think of a better way to end it than talking about that basketball win for the Buckeyes. That was from my network postgame show. You can get all those episodes on the Fan's YouTube channel, so check that out. And please do subscribe and download this podcast anywhere you get your audio. Any college basketball fan has got to have it. If you're checking it out for the first time on the Fan Saturday morning replay, please check it out. Thank you to Evil Bald Colin, who missed this week down at Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and my man Jacob Reimer, Rhyme Time. We'll see you guys next week. Enjoy the basketball. This is Mad About Hoops.